بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy. Indeed, all praises due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the second hadith, which the author, Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he mentioned in Riyadu al-Salihin, in the chapter of Ikhlas wa Ihdar al-Niyyah, the chapter of sincerity and a person making or having an intention. And this is the hadith of Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha. The author rahimahullah said, وَعَنْ أُمِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أُمِّ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَائِشَةَ رَضِيَ anha قَالَتْ. Upon the authority of the mother of the believers, the mother of Abdullah, she is Aisha radiallahu anha. And this term, Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, this term is given to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we consider them to be our mothers. And this is why the muhaddithun, the scholars of hadith, often when they mention the name of one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they will first say Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers. And in this hadith, we are referring to Aisha as-Siddiqah binti Siddiq. Aisha, the truthful woman, the daughter of the truthful man, i.e. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Because Aisha radiallahu anha, she was the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And she said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَغْزُ جَيْشٌ الْكَعْبَةَ فَإِذَا كَانُوا بِبَيْدَاءَ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, an army will attack the Kaaba, and when they come to a spacious area like the desert, يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ, the first of them to the last of them, all of them will be swallowed up by the earth. قَالَتْ, Aisha radiallahu anha said, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, I said, O Messenger of Allah, كَيْفَ يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ, how is it that the first of them to the last of them, all of them will be swallowed up by the earth. وَفِيهِمْ أَسْوَاقُهُمْ, and amongst this army are people who have come to merely buy and sell, merchants and traders. وَمَنْ لَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ, and there are others amongst them who are not from the army, meaning they have not come with the intention to fight or destroy the Kaaba. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ ثُمَّ يُبْعَثُونَ عَلَى نِيَّاتِهِمْ, the first of them to the last of them, all of them will be swallowed up by the earth, and then they will be resurrected, i.e. resurrected on Yawm al-Qiyamah, according to their intentions, their niyyat. And the hadith muttafaqun alayh wa hadha lafz al-Bukhari. The hadith has been agreed upon, i.e. by al-Imam al-Bukhari and al-Imam al-Muslim, that it is sahih. However, this wording is the wording of al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he informed of an event which will occur before Yawm al-Qiyamah, one of the signs of the day of resurrection. And that is that an army will try to invade
or attack or destroy the Kaaba. And the Kaaba, of course, this is Baytullah. We refer to it as being the house of Allah. And why is the Kaaba known as the house of Allah? Not because Allah subhanahu has houses that accommodate him, but it is a term of honor and respect. So Allah subhanahu, he called Kaaba the house of Allah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he called the masajid, the mosques, the houses of Allah, not because they accommodate Allah, but meaning that these are the places of Allah. These are places which Allah has honored and made sacred. And the Kaaba was built by Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam. The Kaaba was built by Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us the story of the building of the Kaaba. Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ. And when Ibrahim and Ismail, both of them, were raising the foundations or raising the bricks of the Kaaba. And whilst they were building the Kaaba, they were making a dua. Each time they built a level of the Kaaba, or placed some stones or bricks upon the Kaaba, they would make a dua. They would say, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. O our Lord, accept this from us. Verily, you are the all-hearing and the most knowing, the most knowledgeable. And this shows us the effect of ikhlas, of sincerity upon a person. So consider that this is the great Prophet of Allah, Ibrahim, one of the five greatest messengers of Allah. And his son, Ismail, is also a great prophet. He's a prophet and he's a son of a prophet. And what are they doing? They are building the Kaaba. And each time they raise a stone or they place a brick onto the Kaaba to build the Kaaba, they are fearful that their action is not being accepted by Allah. And so they say, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. O our Lord, accept this from us. And this is why the Salaf, they used to remember the statement of Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam, this story of how each time they would place a stone on the Kaaba, the building of the Kaaba, each time they would raise the Kaaba by a level, they would say, oh Allah, accept this from us. Oh Allah, accept this from us. And they would say that who is able or who is assured of his or her actions being accepted after Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam. Meaning Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam, firstly, they are prophets and messengers. And they are the greatest prophets and messengers. And secondly, Allah gave them revelation. And he ordered them directly to build the Kaaba. And fifth, they are standing in Mecca. And they are standing in Al-Haram Al-Makki Al-Sharif. And then they are building the Kaaba by the command of Allah. And despite all of these factors, they were still fearful that perhaps their action is not being accepted by Allah. And so they make the dua, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. O Allah, accept this from us. And this ayah shows us that nobody has a right to be haughty or proud or show off the actions which he or she is performing. Rather, each one of us should do righteous deeds, but at the same time, we should be fearful that maybe these deeds are not being accepted by Allah. And therefore, we say, as these two great prophets said, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا. O Allah, O our Lord, accept this action from us. So the point is that the Kaaba, the sacred house of Allah, Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail, they built the Kaaba. And there was an army in the previous times who came in order to destroy the Kaaba. There was a king in Yemen and his name was Abraha. And this king from Yemen, he wanted to destroy the Kaaba and wipe the Kaaba off the face of the earth. So the Arabs and the followers of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they have nothing to show for their worship. So he sent a great army, and at the front of this army was an elephant. And it was a great, big, humongous elephant. And this army, with the elephant leading the army, were dispatched in order to destroy the Kaaba. And this occurred the same year that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. So the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is not known for sure which day or which date or which month he was born in, for sure, for certainty. However, that which the historians agree upon is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in the year Amul Fil, the year of the elephant. This year which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in, it is known as Am al-Fil, the year of the elephant. And this term Am al-Fil, it refers to that time when an army with elephant or elephants at the front, they came in order to attack the Kaaba. And of course, the Arabs of Hijaz, of the Arabian Peninsula, they had never seen an elephant. They had heard about an elephant, but they had never seen an elephant, especially this size. So the elephant was sent along with the rest of the army to cause fear in the hearts of the Arabs who lived in that area. And when this army approached the Kaaba, approached Mecca, just outside Mecca in a particular place, the elephant refused to carry on going forward and started to turn back. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to protect the Kaaba, he destroyed the army and he sent birds which pelted the army of Abraha, the king of Yemen, with stones. And of course, this story is mentioned in the surah which most of us have memorized, if not all of us. And that is the saying of Allah, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Do you not remember, do you not consider how your Lord dealt with the companions or the army of the elephant? أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ. Did he not make their plot or their plan misguided? وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلٍ. And he sent upon them birds who came in flocks. تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. And these flocks, they struck the army, or they struck the army with stones of hard clay. فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. And so this army, it was destroyed. So this happened once previously, and this was when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. And in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informs us that before Yawm al-Qiyamah, before the hour is established, there will be another attempt by an army to destroy the Kaaba. And this is one of the signs of Yawm al-Qiyamah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this hadith, يغزو جيشن الكعبة فإذا كانوا ببيداء من الأرض. That a large army will come in order to attack the Kaaba, to destroy the Kaaba. And when they come to a bayda, when they come to a spacious area, يخسف بأولهم وآخرهم. All of them will be destroyed. All of them will be swallowed up by the earth, from the first person to the last person. And the whole army and everybody who is with the army will be destroyed. And so a question came to Ummul Mu'min Aisha radiallahu anha. And that is that when you have an army, not each person in the army is a soldier. So for example, you may have servants or workers. Or if there are machines involved, you may have engineers. In the olden days, they would have slaves. In this army, there are people who are coming to buy and sell. There may be nurses who are coming to tend to the wounded in the army, and so on and so forth. There may be the shepherds who come as well in order to look after the animals if there are animals in the army. So Ummul Mu'minin Aisha radiallahu anha, she had this question, that how is it that Allah will destroy the first of them to the last of them? All of them will be destroyed. And yet amongst the army are those people who came not to attack the Kaaba, but some of them because it was their job. Others came just to buy and sell. Businessmen who might have come, there may be diplomats who have come, maybe nurses have come, servants or slaves or maids may have come. There may be chefs who have come also to prepare food, and so on and so forth. So she said, Ya Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, كَيْفَ يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ وَفِيهِمْ أَصْوَاقُهُمْ وَمَنْ لَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ. How is it that the first of them and the last of them, all of them will be swallowed by the earth, all of them will be destroyed, and amongst them are traders, merchants, businessmen, and also those people who are not amongst them. Meaning people who have come in their company, but they did not come with the intention to attack the Kaaba. They have come for various reasons, like I said, looking after the animals, or the nurses, or the doctors, or the chefs, and so on and so forth. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replied. He said, يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ ثُمَّ يُبْعَثُونَ عَلَىٰ نِيَّاتِهِمْ. That all of them will be destroyed, and all of them will be swallowed up by the earth, from the first to the last. But on Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will then be resurrected according to their intentions. And they will be recompensed according to their intentions. And they will be punished or excused from punishment according to their intentions. And in this hadith is a great lesson, and that is that whoever accommodates and whoever accompanies and whoever takes part with the people of falsehood and the people of oppression, then that person will also be punished in the dunya, regardless of whether the person himself was righteous or disobedient. The punishment of Allah in this dunya, it covers all of them. Those who were together, you had a person, himself he's righteous, but he accompanied or he accommodated or he was around the disobedient people and the people of oppression and the people of corruption. Allah punishes all of them on this dunya, even though he may be a righteous person or a pious person, or maybe he is a believer in the company of the kuffar. But the punishment of Allah when it comes to a people, it comes to all of them. And so the lesson in this hadith is that even if you yourself are righteous and pious, however you accommodating the evil people and you supporting the people of corruption and you accompanying such people, perhaps you will also face the same punishment which they face on account of your association with them, even though your intention may differ. So your intention may differ, but because in your actions you are with them and you are supporting them and you are accommodating them and accompanying them, then the punishment of Allah will come to both groups of people. And Al-Albani rahimahullah, in his takhrij of Riyad al-Salihin, in the footnote of this hadith, he mentions another narration. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kathara sawad qawmin fil ma'asiyah mukhtaran fa'inna al-uqubata tulhiquhu." That whoever increases the number of the people in disobedience, whoever increases their number by being with them, and he does this willingly, فَإِنَّ الْعُقُوبَةُ تُلْحِقُهُ, then the punishment will come to him as well. And Allah also mentioned this in the Quran, that when a fitna comes, when a punishment comes, if you, even though you're a righteous person, but you choose to be around the evil people and the corrupt people and those who disobey Allah, the punishment will not be specific to only them. Rather, it will cover the whole group, even if amongst the group there may be a person who is righteous. But this is the punishment for accompanying and accommodating and supporting and being with the people of corruption and evil and oppression. And Allah subhanahu said in the Quran, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً. Fear the fitna. لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصًا. Which is not restricted or exclusive to those people who oppress. Rather, when the punishment of Allah comes, it comes to the whole group. Those who are oppressing and those who are friends with the oppressors and accommodating the oppressors and living with the oppressors. And the point in this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثُمَّ يُبْعَثُونَ عَلَى نِيَّاتِهِمْ. That in this dunya, all of them will be destroyed because they were with each other. Their outwardly actions were that they are a single group. But then on Yawm al-Qiyamah, because Allah is just, then He will judge them according to their intentions. And then we come to the third hadith, and that is also the hadith of Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا هجرة بعد الفتح. There is no hijrah, there is no migration after al-fatḥ, after the conquest. ولكن جهاد ونية. However, jihad remains and the niyyah, the intention remains. And if you are cold, then answer the call. And the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La hijrata ba'd al-fath," that there is no more hijrah after the conquest. And al-fath, this refers to the conquest of Mecca. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the age of 40 years old, revelation came to him, and he was ordered to propagate and convey the message of Islam to the people. And he remained in Mecca for 13 years, bearing the difficulties and the torture of the people, him and his companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, until they were forced into exile. And when the difficulties and the tortures and the tests and the tribulations became too difficult for them to live or bear, then Allah subhanahu, He gave permission to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions to make hijrah, to migrate from Mecca to Al-Madinah. So then the Prophet and his companions, they migrated in their groups and they all went and lived and resided in Al-Madinah. They spent 8 more years in Al-Madinah, 8 or 9 more years in Al-Madinah, until they came back to conquer Mecca. And then Mecca was conquered. And after the conquest of Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned back to Al-Madinah and he resided a few more months there, and then he passed away, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. And whilst the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive in Al-Madinah and Mecca was still under the authority of the Quraysh, the Mushrikun, the polytheists, the Kuffar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He ordered the companions to make hijrah, because Mecca is a place of kufr, of disbelief, and Al-Madinah is a place of iman, of belief. So Allah ordered the Muslims who were living in Mecca to migrate and make hijrah from Mecca to Al-Madinah. However, once Mecca had been conquered and now it became a place of Islam and iman, the order or the command of making hijrah from Mecca to Al-Madinah, it no longer exists. Because hijrah is done from a country of disbelief to a country of iman and Islam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, La hijrata ba'd al-fath, that there is no more hijrah after the conquest of Mecca. Now, we do not understand this hadith upon its generality. This hadith does not mean that the legislation of making hijrah has ceased. Rather, what it means is that there is no more hijrah from Mecca to Al-Madinah. Because at that time, Mecca was a place of kufr. Now it is a place of Islam. So there is no need to make any hijrah anymore. So for the people of Mecca, there's no more need for them to make hijrah. So what remains for them? Walakin jihad wa niyyah. The obligation of jihad remains, and the obligation of the niyyah, having the intention, this remains. So those Muslims who lived in Mecca after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, now they cannot make hijrah. And hijrah is a great act of worship. A person does it for the sake of Allah and hoping for the reward in the hereafter. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to the people of Mecca that although your opportunity to make hijrah has ceased, however, jihad remains and niyyah. The legislation of jihad remains and the intention remains. So make the intention. Even if you're not able to fight jihad, make the intention to fight jihad. If you weren't able to make hijrah, then make the intention in your heart that you would have made hijrah or you'd like to make al-hijrah. So the intention, it remains. So this hadith, the main point behind this hadith is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, walakin jihad wa niyyah, that the intention remains. Even though for the people of Mecca, the opportunity to make hijrah from Mecca to Al-Madinah has stopped because Mecca is now a place of Islam, but there is still an opportunity to have a niyyah, have a righteous intention. And a person is rewarded for the righteous intention that he or she may have. We suffice with that for this lesson. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم وبالله التوفيق.